California is Eden Lapucky's best-selling debut novel of modern apocalypse. In it, we follow young Cal and Frida as they abandon an economically devastated Los Angeles for a new life of primeval struggle in the deep woods of a world gone mad, where paranoid, radical cultists, rape-crazy, thrill-killing pirates, and the tendrils of a heavily armed and impenetrable economic elite clash over who will determine the shape and flavor of tomorrow. Cal is a master gardener, and Frida is a gifted bread baker. Frida's brother Micah is a mesmerizing performance artist and revolutionary, whose ragtag mashup of Anonymous, Jonestown, and the Bader-Meinhof Group may be a new generation's only hope. Please join the Portland, Oregon branch of Book Circle Online as we go down south into California.
From the Library of Maria Menounos, this is Book Circle Online, featuring in-depth discussion, insight, news, and commentary on all the world's leading book titles and their authors. And now, Book Circle Online.
Welcome to Book Circle Online. My name is Jason Squamata. This week, we will be discussing a book that everyone is talking about. It is California by Eden Lapucky. And I'm here with my co-hosts.
Mark Savage.
Pat Janowski.
Christy Lovato.
And this book is on the tip of everyone's brain, in the sizzle and synapse of everyone's thought process. California, California, California. It's all anyone's thinking about. thanks to famous and beloved author Sherman Alexie dropping it like a bomb in his appearance on the Colbert Report about a month ago, was it?
Mm-hmm.
About a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
And this book, California, is, I mean, it wasn't the book itself that's creating all the buzz. Like, what? How would you define the nature of this buzz that we're talking about? Like, what? Why do people care about this book right now?
Well, aside from being blurbed by two of the most influential sort of culture makers, so Sherman Alexie, who has incredible credibility as an author, mm-hmm. and Stephen Colbert, who is Stephen Colbert.
Is Stephen Colbert, yes.
I mean, if those two guys are recommending the book, one, you know.
Right.
You should probably read it.
Yes, you ought to. I don't think, have they both read it, do you think? That wasn't clear to me from the internet.
God, I hope so.
Okay.
Otherwise.
Sherman Alexie, it seemed like he had probably read it. Colbert. Yeah.
But it was more based on the fact that it was a debut author, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was a Hachette author.
Yes.
And they were giving a push, and they were saying, buy this book,
right.
not from Amazon, because Amazon are in... in a dispute with Hachette at the moment.
So yes.
So it's the publishing company who's in the big dispute with Amazon.
Yeah. Oh.
And so then the books that are coming out under that
It's hard to buy
imprint.
Them from Amazon.
Right.
Right.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Now, controversy aside, the book itself. Some thoughts. Mark.
It's kind of a... At first I thought it was an apocalyptic novel. It's almost an apocalypse that isn't quite... that terrible. It's a near future, possibly. And so my early thoughts were about something like The Road, Cormac McCarthy. It's not like that at all.
No.
It's less desolate. There's more bickering. It seems actually far closer to our present situation than I immediately imagined from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I have to agree with all of what you said. I'm a fan of post-apocalyptic novels because I love just the inventive things the writers get up to and the stories that they tell me. It could be this way, it could be that way, and I think it's not a horrifying future necessarily, like, or, you know, the big nuclear bomb, that sort of thing, or zombies, but it's. It's horrifying in that it is very close to what the economic divide that we're experiencing right now, and mm-hmm. just growing even wider. And it kind of takes that to its extreme. But I really did enjoy so many of the details of this book, for the reasons that I like, you know, apocalypse, you know, post future novels anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say for now.
Okay, fair enough. Duly noted, Christy.
Yeah, I liked what you said, Mark. It's kind of, I was thinking of it this morning, it's like shallow urban girl gets caught mid-apocalypse. It's
right.
It's not like we're slipping into the apocalypse where it's not nuclear winter. You can still drink the water, but you can't have a latte. So it's right. Yeah.
It's kind of a step further than, oh, there's no Wi-Fi here. And the next step is, oh, my credit card's not working. Oh, no, I'm living in a shed with my husband. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, you can see that sequence happening.
And there are hints of, like, this larger sort of catastrophe, like, there are hints of environmental catastrophe going on outside of the main characters.
Yeah, there's snowstorms in the Midwest.
And then some I mean, they just mention in passing, like, superflu epidemic. And
yeah, big earthquake. And big
But we don't
big
see
cities.
Any of that, do we?
Right, kind
of,
right.
It is really remote. Context. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that all these people died in snowstorms in the Midwest, it feels almost unlikely in the context of this book because... Sure, I suppose it can happen, but it feels kind of far-fetched because there's nothing else, you know. So the environment is spinning out of control. Okay,
but they can still grow.
Yeah, you don't see that in this book.
California, apart from being largely abandoned, it seems fairly well preserved.
Yeah, it's different than the T. Corgison Boyle environmental apocalypse novel, which was called. Insert here, name of book. Because there it takes place in sort of the same-ish area, and the environmental stuff is very evident. Mm-hmm. I think if something that big had happened in the Midwest, you know, something would be happening out here too.
They'd grow strange fruit.
Or something. And
I shouldn't use I shouldn't say strange fruit. That makes me think of something else.
That's a whole different...
But now that's part of the melange of associations.
Right.
Yes.
Speaking of which, there's one black character.
There is. Let's talk about August.
August.
Well, before we talk about August and before we break the characters down, it seems like the biggest apocalyptic effect or prefigurement of apocalypse that a lot of these characters are suffering from is the economic devastation, the way that everything is. And so our main characters, Cal and Frida, are fleeing Los Angeles because the city has become a horror show. I mean, we haven't really...
We don't see LA, so we don't know exactly.
Well, they described there was the big earthquake that sort of, you know, knocked everything down, and they just never got up to rebuilding because the economically depressed people, there were too many of them, and the people with money just kind of, ran off
to form their communities.
Right.
So you have these, you know, sort of elite communities, some of which have corporate sponsorship. The Amazon community,
Amazon.
Ironically, yes. Yeah. And then you have, I guess the cities themselves presumably are, you know, kind of massive violent ghettos or not necessarily violent, but like Detroit is now. I mean, Detroit, you know, like Los Angeles is probably closer.
If the whole of America was Detroit.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
That would be this book.
Sure.
That's a good point. 'Cause this week, as I was reading it this week, they were talking about cutting off the water in Detroit to the residents of Detroit, and that's sort of, I think that's sort of the creeping dread that for me was not quite dreadful in this book is that the infrastructure slowly dissolving,
right?
Yeah,
and the internet, that was a big thing for me. The internet is gone; it's useless now. There's no
right.
No one's putting content on the website.
Well, it's more useless than it was. Yeah.
Right. Well, but all of these things seem more distant to people because they don't have instant access to all of this information.
Right.
So the things at the opening of the book, Cal's mother has been dead for weeks, and he just doesn't even know because there's no access for anyone. They can't make phone calls. They can't.
Right.
And that's that. I mean, one thing I liked about the opening passages in the book are that it presents this. We think of the end of days as being this huge, you know, clap of thunder and lightning. But it would be a far more plausible sequence of events. It just would be this creeping, just annoying things happening.
Yeah.
You know, now it's really expensive to buy an apple. Now it's, you know, just slowly but surely, things just getting more and more annoying, which you can relate to in a contemporary society. You find those things.
Right.
You know, this annoys me, and now It's normal. Right. This annoys me. Now it's normal. This is expected. It's easy to see how those things just accumulate.
Right, right. Well, I think, I mean, one way in which the book is kind of like, you know, aesthetically complete and resonant is, to me, in the same way that there are allusions to, you know, great turmoil, great ecological turmoil, and great, you know, even greater, you know, like infrastructural collapse mm-hmm. elsewhere in the world, but we're not really getting to see that. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of this tapestry of rumor behind what's happening. In the same way, something that was at first infuriating to me about the book, but I, you know, eventually got used to it and accepted it, and it just became part of the book. I felt like there's a lot of very interesting stuff happening, and we're forced to see it through the lens of the least interesting people in the story.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And they, especially Frida, who drove me crazy throughout this book. And
why did she drive you crazy?
Because she, I just felt like she was a spoiled, selfish little git, and people's love for her. She was getting this like nobility by association
mm-hmm. with Micah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because much more complex people like had, you know, very soft feelings for her. And but I would dread, like, the chapters alternate between Cal
and Frida.
And Frida. Mm-hmm. And Cal, I feel, is relatively, you know, boring too. Like almost anyone in the book would have, I felt, you know, been a more compelling narrator, from August to Sandy and Beau to certainly
Micah.
But
don't you think it's bringing you into the story through the every person, I hear the narrating can get tedious, but so you see these people and they're interesting because you're not them. You know, you get to see Mike, you get to see August. He's mysterious.
My take on it, and this, I might be reading too much into it, but that Frida's kind of a symbol. She's kind of a symbol for all the lost luxury. She's younger and prettier, and she's paler than everyone. And even Cal, who supposedly loves her and wants to take care of her, hates when she puts on Sandy's denim dresses. Like, he hates when she starts dressing like a post-apocalyptic housefrau. Like, everyone kind of holds her up as this, like, a reminder of
was,
a time,
was.
Yeah, when girls could be decorative.
Like, her inner life is just made of gossip and speculation about what everyone thinks of her, and resentment about what this mm-hmm. person is telling her, and this, you know, and this person is not telling her.
And whenever she's having a feeling that's larger than that, the POV switches, and we are hearing about it from Cal.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's a frustration for me as well in that I understood the dynamic of, here are two people who don't really know what's going on in the world, and they don't really know what's going on in this settlement of people that they've discovered. So they would be asking questions. Mm. But it gets to the point where that's all you have, are these questions. And they're not necessarily the questions that I felt needed to be asked at any particular point. It felt like, no, you've misread that situation. And then subsequently, you can see how they've misread that situation. And more it felt like the switches and the information that each character was privy to that the other one wasn't felt like a plot device. It felt like the amount of information that any character discovered at any point was just the convenient amount
just
to then switch back.
Enough.
And that was frustrating.
Well, it seemed to like all of the narrative suspense of the story felt contrived to mm-hmm. me, because it's not like, you know, people's, like, the way that, like, the whole, what is it called? The land. Mm-hmm. The land mm-hmm. is this settlement that Frida and Cal, yes, find their way into. And I got excited by the book as soon as they were there, because I had this terror at the beginning of the book that this whole thing would be these boring people, like, reflecting on the world that
was. See, I
was
hoping it was going to be that, actually.
To each his own.
Yeah, right.
But when they get to the land and their presence is controversial. I mean, here's, you know, that Micah, you know, you kind of know the second time he's mentioned that he's going to surface as a character in the book. And so everyone in the land, because of Frida's association with Micah, is pretty much ready to accept them. But there's this contrived fake suspense about whether people are going to accept them. And Frida and Cal...
And it becomes obvious at a certain point, I'm sorry,
yes,
that the only way that they're not going to be accepted is if they sabotage it.
Right.
And then I thought, how are they going to sabotage it? Well, they're going to reveal that she's pregnant. It becomes fairly apparent that this set of circumstances could happen.
Right.
Well,
right.
It's just who's going to reveal it. That's the real suspense for me.
It was interesting to me to figure out or to wonder why... kids are a problem.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Was like the one you didn't like that.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah,
I don't believe that. Yeah, I didn't buy that.
When it was all revealed, I didn't buy it either at all. The fact that kids wouldn't be allowed or that something had happened, I did buy, and I wanted something better, I guess.
Right, it hinted at something dark, like something bigger and darker.
Children get stolen, so we can't have children.
Or something.
Or that you know, that the bus is sitting there ominously in the field and no one's seen the kid. You know,
It seemed like they were much more horrible.
And that they had sold the kids to the rich community for baking powder.
No.
I mean,
right.
Because to me, that...
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's a stretch. Yeah. Well, one of the things is that... I forgot what I was going to say. Carry on.
Yes.
Something you were talking about, like the narrative, that setting up that suspense. It did. It felt forced. It was. Yeah. They asked questions. I'll tell you later.
Right.
What about this? What about this?
I'll tell you in the next chapter.
And then the next Frida chapter, she's back in the kitchen. It's the same situation.
Exactly.
And
we're,
now
she's going to say a little bit more.
Right.
Because it's another day.
I just need to finish that thought because it's those kind of writing devices that just, it was halfway through the book on page 213 when in the hardcover version, when, I was putting up with all this because I want there to be something interesting at the heart. Like I said, I like post-apocalyptic novels. I like the invention. I want to see how they see it. What are they going to invent for me? And this chapter ended with a place that banned children had to have a streak of insidiousness at its center.
Right.
These men were up to something.
At which point you knew they weren't up to something.
Exactly. It was you were there. I read that. And I just went, oh, man. Because I was just hoping it – I wanted it to be better.
Right. Well, okay. So and I think that sums it up is that there's so much potential. This is a novel about the downfall of society where you have a protected civilization who is investing in nothing because they plan on having no more generations. And there are at least – 7 or 8 women whose children have been stolen from them, and the stakes are so low.
Yeah. It's like they don't.
And no one gives a shit.
They accept that this is the way it should be.
Right.
But there's no compelling reason. I mean, I don't know. If the horror was that horrible, then you might feel that people would accept that. We're given some description of horror that they've witnessed and suffered. But beyond that, it seems like their life on the land is okay.
Yeah.
There might be worse things outside, but they're not. There isn't a constant threat to them. Not enough to explain why mothers would accept that.
Even Annika, who is willing to kill Frida and Cal for the sin of coming into the community pregnant, when asked about her own child, launches into a series of complaints about how hard it was to nurse and how she had to keep him entertained. And
that's true.
But is she willing to kill, or is she willing to climb up a tree, yell some exposition at them, and get beaten up? The thing is, this device of Frida and Cal being our portals into this situation, I feel, you know, there's a great story here, and there are great characters, and I feel like we're occluded from, like, the potential greatness of this story, because all these horrific events, we get very few details, but it makes sense for it to be evasive because people are in kitchens telling us about them. None of them are dramatized. These intense events.
Right. I felt like the second half of the book was either Frida or Cal talking to one of the characters in the land who was explaining another piece of information that then kind of chimed nicely with the piece we'd heard in the last chapter when the other member of the couple was talking to someone else.
And so there's this building kind of anecdotal oral history and about the only interesting events in the book.
Mm-hmm. Which we don't see happen.
And I understand. I mean, I think that telling a story with that absence could be really interesting. People mm-hmm. who are just hearing rumors of what's happened elsewhere, of what's really going on. The problem I found was that frequently we were being told something that was clearly gospel. This is what happened. There wasn't enough counter narrative, like different people, that there's such potential for that. You know, in its way, the land could be this small internet of just all these voices. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. There wasn't really enough confusion and ambiguity in that. There was a point where you realized, oh, now this character is unburdening themselves and telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, Micah has this fascinating journey through the story. Like, why did he make the choices he was making? Why, like, when he's being distant and weird, what's happening in his head? I mean, I was very curious about him as a character. I realize sometimes, you know, in fiction, that character is kept at a distance. They, you know, like, what we don't know about them is part of, like, their, you know, like, what makes them compelling.
Right, their mystique.
Yeah, but even, like, you know, if... I wanted those stories that we're getting from people. I wanted to see Annika go through that. I wanted to see the emotional turmoil.
I think, I mean, I'm guessing, but what the writer's trying to do is present these different positions, these different possibilities, just floating there without really examining them, without really saying living on the land is the best thing because going to the communities is the best thing because it's leaving these possibilities, which leaves you, able to maybe form your own opinion about the group and their activities. Are they doing the right thing? Are they doing the wrong thing?
Right.
And about the land, is the land's compromise the right thing to do, the wrong thing?
Yeah,
it kind of leaves that floating. And I understand that because I think if you go too far one way or another, if you make Micah into this crazy villain who's just stabbing everybody... Right.
It's too past.
It's too much.
Yeah. Right.
And similarly, if he's seen as this righteous hero, that's too much.
Right.
And so, and then, but the danger is then you feel like the book is hedging its bets to the end.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it does win that last chapter for me.
Right. Right. There's, oh, yes.
Before we get there, I mean, with Micah, there's no consistency in his motivations at all.
Right.
You know, and in one chapter he's saying to Frida, did you think because you're my sister that you were going to be more important to me than anyone else? Yeah. And then in another chapter, August is revealing that that part of his entire motivation for killing the Millers was so that they could have a bigger house to move into.
Yeah.
That was better insulated.
So obviously she's more important to him than everybody else. I mean,
if that's true, I mean, you know, like, who knows? I mean, because I feel like, I mean, I realize there's a danger with subject matter like this to, you know, veer into pulp. And, you know, and maybe this is just my predilections talking, but I feel like this book too often errs on the side of literature. And it goes for ambiguity and what is right and what is wrong and what are these people really feeling?
I disagree that's called literature.
Okay.
I agree with your description, however.
Uh-huh.
And you're absolutely right, Mark. By the end of the book, it was obvious. I'm looking at how much I have left to go and I'm thinking, there's not enough room to finish this story.
Uh-huh.
Because for me, the interesting thing was like, okay, so they've got the communities pegged. They understand that all the kids that come in from the outside that aren't adopted are going to be basically slaves.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what they left LA for.
Right.
You know, so it's like, this is bad. They're just recreating the same cycle.
They're slaves, but they get apartments and electricity.
Which is, I mean, that's a nice commentary on how we live. Because, you know, what we consider freedom to be.
Right.
Because is it better to be...
Doing terrible jobs a lot of the time.
Right. Is it better to be that or to live in on the land,
right.
You know, and like you said, it's left ambiguous, but kind of too ambiguous. I fully expect there to be a sequel. I can't imagine finishing a book the way that she finished this book without planning to explain what's going to happen with the bomb plot. Tony just sneaks in at the end. We've got to see more Tony. She's interesting. And it's like, okay, we've got this plot that we're not going to tell you about. We've got, you know, people planted in there that we're not going to tell you about.
Uh-huh.
And it just ends.
Right.
And it's just...
Yeah, if it was kind of... if the irony of Micah's situation now being this kind of endless loop, he's basically doing what he always did and possibly failing and compromising and being a hypocrite. If that was more clearly ironic, you could take the book maybe more seriously as commentary, a social commentary.
Yeah. But it gets into the realm of pulp. If you think of Frida as the villain of the piece.
Okay. Oh, okay. Go on.
Please, go on.
Okay. Because, well, okay, so in the opening of the book, the opening of the book, Cal is out in the heat planting a garden, and Frida is in their house lounging around on the bed and looking at all the things from the world she left behind. Mm-hmm. And throughout the entire book, she's motivated by selfishness. Even when she announces her pregnancy, she wants to be special. She doesn't want to disclose. If she wanted to disclose her pregnancy, she would have done it before the vote takes place in the church. And even in the end, she's resigning herself. Whatever Cal has to go through, I'm comfortable again. And these are sacrifices that he's making so his family can be comfortable.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Do you feel that way? Do you see her as a villain? I know you. I think you see her more harshly than I do.
Yeah.
Well, I see. The thing is, I mean, it's not like she's a femme fatale or something, like playing people against each other. She's just a silly, narcissistic consumer trollop.
And perhaps the evil isn't the banality of evil is what.
Right. Yeah.
You're both recognizing.
Well, and she she's a narcissist, and throughout the book, she reveals lots of pieces about herself, like she's never really been in love.
Right.
She never had a serious relationship. Uh-huh. She feels distanced from Cal and only really connects with Cal.
Her feelings about Cal are very juvenile.
They are. And she only really feels warmth for him when he is doing things for her or when he is making sacrifices for
her. I think his feelings are the same.
Also juvenile.
I don't see him as any more... I don't think he's smarter than she is. You feel like the strains of their life would make their relationship, like the stakes would be that much higher.
Right.
But the things that they don't talk to each other about seem to me frequently too petty.
Right.
It seems like at the point that they're at, especially when they get to the land, it's imperative that we're on the same team. Even if we have misgivings about one another, we need to break through this. And you would feel like that would happen. Their inability to be anything other than this kind of early 21st century kind of couple who don't really communicate means that the circumstances don't seem that severe.
Right. Well, yeah, and it becomes
and maybe that's deliberate.
Right. Well, it becomes ludicrous, like when you know, okay, but we have to promise to totally be on the same page and no more secrets.
Yep.
And then in the next. In the next paragraph. Okay,
secrets.
I can't sell this for this reason.
Maybe that's the point. Maybe we're being told that the way in which we communicate as couples is not going to get us
through the apocalypse.
I feel like if there were more of a comic tone where like these people in their shallowness, like that 2D had more of an allegorical veneer, I might find it more compelling. But it's put in these dire circumstances. Mm. And it feels almost dirty, and that it's making these references to like the rape by pirates of like of half the women in the camp and like families
that
like
seem
poisoning
like a convenient,
themselves.
This is why you should be scared because these things happen.
Yeah, but we don't get to see it. It's alluded to obliquely, and
there's no current threat. That's the other thing. There was never any threat.
Never any threat.
The fact that everyone was terrified of Red was like. The scariest thing.
Right. That made me laugh.
Right.
Yeah. That made me laugh.
Well, yes, because the pirates wore red and the pirates did bad things. But even the chase scene towards the end of the book where they're running from the land, no one's chasing them.
Right.
No.
Like as a matter of fact, someone's waiting to make sure they get through safely so they can drive them on a bus back to the suburbs.
Yeah. There's no current threat, and every threat every perceived threat is an illusion. And every time someone is going to come at them and kill them or like put their love to the test or whatever, it's just someone wants to tell them like a bunch of like more, give them more information.
So basically, whatever happens, the millennial insecurities that we have we can never lose them.
Right.
We can never find true love because Yeah. We're too petty.
Well, and we can't find, like, true myth or true meaning because, it like, our worlds are made of gossip and, like, you know, trying to, like, you know, make sure we're cozy.
Yeah.
Because we can't let go of the turkey baster.
Because we can't let go of the turkey baster.
Something you had said, Mark, was I hope this turkey baster doesn't turn out to be, like, some useful thing that means something.
In the last moment. And, I know, yeah.
She reaches for the turkey baster and stabs someone in the eye or sprays air at the alien.
Turkey baster, yeah. Yes.
And you were going on and on about it, and I finally had to say, it doesn't. Don't worry. It doesn't mean God. Anything.
Then yeah. that's
There's an interesting commentary, I think, on sexual politics in this.
Yes.
In that the things that Cal is good at are traditionally male things, farming, and she's good at foraging, which is somehow not it's not hunting. It's even stated as such. And the same when they get to the land, there's a group of men who make decisions.
Oh, and they justify it, you know, upper body strength.
Upper body strength.
really.
I know.
But is that good? I mean,
they make a lot of really bad decisions that impact everyone really negatively. Right. But at the end of the day, well, they saved us from those pirates probably 15 years ago. So we probably should just do it. Have my babies. Have all my babies.
So right. what? So what's the significance? I mean, are we to think that, you know, no matter what happens, this is what mankind comes back to?
Humankind, Mark. What a sexist remark.
Disgusting.
Right. This is what I'm saying.
I'm offended. The girl in me is very upset with you.
I love the girl in you, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Not enough.
I can see her. She's
right? Yeah.
Push her back down.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
She's showing.
Your girl the girl in me showing. Is showing.
That is an interesting point, and that did kind of – that did, again – suggest it was going somewhere interesting.
It didn't examine that fully, but it might be that's appropriate, that it's just this kind of almost aside. Yeah, that's what happens. Men make the decisions, and when it comes to it, men will carry machetes and save the day and then justify that to make a decision.
Right. Only Tony, who couldn't fit in because she was jealous of all of the attention that Micah got from the other women. So she had to go off and get power. She was the only one who went off and actually got any kind of power.
But it's still maybe his girlfriend.
Maybe. Because he gets it now, you guys.
Right, yeah.
Micah gets it now.
He used to, and he says that. Yeah. I used to be into that, but now I get, now, you know, now that I'm
Does
older.
He change?
He said that Does he he's change? Not interested Do we think in he's- it.
If I knew what he was to start with, then I might know if he changed.
Everyone is so
else.
Disingenuous in this and like lying to themselves. I just feel like throughout in every chapter, some fascinating topic for conversation or contemplation is brought to the fore in the story, and then it's
evaded,
dismissed,
all the stuff
or
with
invalidated.
Anika, too. I was interested to hear their conversations. Have a conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Give me more exposition while play with
Yeah, Brett. I found that when there were descriptions of, both in the shed and on the land, how things worked, the actual practical stuff was great. I mean, the description of how on the land they make certain things work, the things they don't have, the things that are luxuries, all that was great. But when you threw in the feelings of people into that, it became problematic often in the book. I was happy to see, you know, see people pining for things, for certain things. That seems human to me.
Right. Well, and again, that's why I like these kind of books. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. And there's some great stuff in there. How do you find a place and how do you keep it safe? What do you do? And some of that stuff is great.
Here's the thing, though. Okay. We're all saying all this stuff, and you said, and I agree, at some point it becomes... This book was really easy for me to read. I loved reading it.
I was excited whenever like something was happening in present time.
Yeah,
which was rarer and rarer actually. And interestingly, they both kind of vow to go off and be detectives. And the way they're both detectives is they just kind of talk to people.
Well, they listen and then they
and
don't
eventually
tell each
people,
other. Anything.
Yeah, people are told things.
Let's go get information.
Right. There's no overhearing things. There's no spy. There's no secret things. You shouldn't be here.
There's
no danger.
And if you go undercover, you instantly get converted and seduced. used by whoever you're supposed to be spying on.
Yeah, both of them did.
Yeah. There's no danger.
Yeah, there's no danger.
And in a way, so maybe that's what I was thinking. This is where this is going, where actually the whole point is they're safe here. This is okay. These are just people trying to make the best of it. And maybe that's what the book is saying, that you're paranoid. You need to get over yourselves. But that wasn't clear enough. Well,
but until she announces that she's pregnant, then everyone wants to eat her face off. Yeah,
which just seemed ridiculous to me.
Well, and it was also you say it was safe here. It's presented that they have a fine place to live. All this stuff. There was one point in the book, and I cannot remember which character said it. It seems to be somebody that is from the community. Maybe it was Tony. Maybe it was somebody like that who said, yeah, when we came in there, that girl had died of a fever, and that baby wasn't even able to hold its head up, right. And blah, blah, blah. A really different story than we heard from the parents.
Right, well, that was Micah, I think, coming at Frida about
was
Anakin's
it?
Claims. Yeah, right.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. And that's a really different viewpoint than anything we had seen before, so there's something ambiguous there. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring that up because
there was a touch of that when Micah was revealed the library, and he
revealed
some of his motivations.
Yeah, I mean... And that's we hear from August when Cal and Frida are living alone in the woods. We hear, don't go exploring. There's very dangerous things out. They know about pirates. They know they exist. She just really wants to go and check it out because she's lonesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't tell everyone you're pregnant because there's huge consequences. It's
okay.
You know,
we won't until the point when it's dramatically convenient to reveal.
Do we have
it.
Everyone in one room with a spotlight? Okay. Uh-huh. Guess what, guys?
Right. Because
the only
this
thing
is,
missing
right.
is: are the doors barred from the outside, and does somebody have a match?
Uh huh.
You know.
Sure.
It's like,
sure. Yeah, and her whole that whole scene and her. I know it's the worst possible thing for me to do, but I have to do this. This is important. Everyone needs to hear this, and everyone's going to like that I said this.
Sits there.
Yeah,
it's like, it was shut the fuck up, Frida.
So contrived, and I felt I related to Cal, but I felt like it was the author rushing everything to this climax that I was just shaking my head and exhausted by.
Well, and then even the communities, like Cal knows that the intent is to undermine and explode this specific community.
Uh huh.
It's Micah's intent. Micah, who apparently killed two small children for his own sister, is going to go send her off into what will be a fireball in 2 to 5 years. But, you know.
Okay. Now, did that actually happen? Did Micah actually kill that whole family so that Cal and Frida could have a cozier house?
Yeah. Well, and also because they were continuing to have kids.
They were a threat. Like having people, I understand the point of having people leave the land is a danger because there are people out there who know about the land.
Because,
I understand that. The fact that he would go as far as doing those things.
Yeah.
It's hard to then think of him as a human being.
Well, and he has not been set up because the thing is, I feel like leading up to that, there's several occasions where people talking about Micah are leading you into this place where he's this Jim Jones guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have an actual scene with Micah, he's just like, oh, I don't know, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
You know, like nothing.
And I mean, one of the I found that some of Cal's memories of Plank really painted a nice picture of their dynamic and of Micah. I didn't get any further.
Right.
That,
well,
really.
And maybe that there's credence to that because there's like the whole, you know, that Micah is essentially like a deposed leader of some pseudo black bloc anarcho-syndicalist group, and he just wants to get back in there and show right. them that he's
he's a student,
but not
who
if he
thought
scary.
Too much, you know. Yeah.
So it just felt like a bunch of post-apocalyptic tropes. Like you've got the pseudo militaristic society, a la 28 Days Later. You've got, you know, there are all of these pieces. That, you know, there is that they've diffused, you know, they've like kind of pulled.
Because it's a book about having babies and making bread and you know and growing your own food and living off the grid, like, you know, like though.
But you're always part of the grid is ultimately what it's saying.
Yeah, August
you can't,
is the grid.
You can't. They are inextricably. They you cannot remove. The land from the communities. That's what we find out. Maybe that's the big revelation.
Okay, so a grid emerges. If you put people together,
are not
they'll this, grow a grid.
They're not.
They're
this,
dependent on each other.
Yeah, they get cocoa. They get whatever. They give children.
Well, and the communities can't survive without poor kids right. to adopt and without artisanal goods.
Oh yeah.
To import.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. When you see a piece of the community at the end, it seems fairly banal. It seems he has a 9-to-5 job. They eat powdered food.
There's a different cultural event every night, including lectures on suits. Obscure typefaces.
is that not just a slightly kind of Soviet version of how we live now?
It totally is. And to me, like that last chapter, it was like the last chapter from the book I wanted to be reading, like somehow right. ended up in this book.
Yeah.
And because mm-hmm. I felt like it went to a place of allegory mm-hmm. that right. it completely evaded. So it was evading emotion throughout the book, like real terror and real ambiguity. It was evading narrative intensity. No one was ever in any real danger except fleetingly, and it was avoiding meaning by falling short.
I wonder if
of that
I feel
symbolism.
Like the characters at the end, they've replaced meaning and danger with security.
Uh-huh.
Are we accusing the book of the same thing?
I suppose.
Hmm.
I suppose that's an interesting point. And
it does feel kind of like a PC book in that way, in that it's, okay, I don't want to make it
It doesn't quite get its hands dirty.
Yeah, right. I don't want to make it black and white, because nothing's black and white. So I'm going to be ambiguous.
They
have trouble, but they always have good sex. They're people talk about sex, you know. We're going to justify the male dominance because, well, it's just nature, upper body strength.
It's mm-hmm. the apocalypse, and there is an endless supply of birth control pills.
I know.
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
That's funny.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
What is almost a better book for me than and film than The Road in Contrast to California is Children of Men.
Oh, yeah, we almost watched it. I loved that book.
Uh-huh.
So much.
Yeah, yeah. It's really quite good, and it touches on a lot of the same issues, mm-hmm. But in a way that is compelling and interesting, and every character.
And you feel scared.
You feel scared, mm. right? And also, at the end, you feel hopeful, and you feel like
In a way, having a pregnant woman in the middle of a dangerous situation should immediately heighten things. It should make you feel nervous.
Mm-hmm.
This book didn't do that, and I keep thinking that generously, maybe that there's a choice there. There's a deliberate choice. There's something going on. There's some kind of satire. She's you know, there's a comfort level that the characters have, whether they're in the land or outside it. They go from one fairly comfortable situation living in a shed to another fairly comfortable situation living on the land, and that it's like nothing is quite working for them. I think something's going on. Is she telling us that we're dissatisfied? Is there some satire going on here that it hasn't quite got through to me?
And the not to harp on the birth control point, but this is a group of 50 people who have managed to not get knocked up for at least 15 years. Mm-hmm. They have a big drawer full of birth control pills. Why don't they have the morning after pill?
Mm. Right.
And how is that? How likely is it that they would be able to just never forget to take a pill in the middle of the apocalypse?
Right. it's the suspension of disbelief that you're having trouble with.
Yes.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can totally
I think we
see
all
that.
Are in certain ways.
But on the plus side, there are spooky moments in this book. Spooky.
The spikes.
The spikes, yeah.
Which I so much preferred to the forms.
Right.
When they were the spikes, I kind of liked them.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then when they were the forms, they were just like a really crappy art installation that they just kept making.
Well, that's what's
making.
Interesting. They're not just spikes. They're the spikes. Just like they don't live on land. It's called the land. And that's right. They don't live in a community. The community. These things are owned. Right. These things are proper.
Well, I
now.
Like there's a moment where, Frida or Cal throws at Micah the slogan that we keep hearing, we believe in containment.
Yeah.
And Micah says, don't make fun of our brand.
And
it's
I
hilarious.
Did love that part.
And I'm like, the book
Thank
was
you.
Just it, this self-aware in general. And it would be if it were about Micah. And I really wanted his story and from inside him. But as soon as we saw the spikes,
Yeah. See, I hope that we don't get his story because he's not quite as interesting as we're led to believe.
But that's interesting.
That's the point. Yeah.
To me, that's interesting.
He's just a student who said some things, and now what? Now I'm leading the cult. Now what? How can I? Okay, I'm going to have to cut someone's head off to prove to these people.
Right.
Yeah, that self-doubt.
Are you okay, Christy?
I'm good. Okay. I just need to stretch.
Okay. But yes, and as soon as we saw the spikes, I anticipated a chase through them.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
funny!
And the book,
sure enough,
built to
it delivered.
Not happy. Well, but it didn't. Yeah. Oh. Whoops. and the family, Sandy and Bo, and the kids being dead.
Jane and Garrett.
Yes. However, it was reneged on or made silly after the fact as a mass murder. The idea of them all ending their lives because they're just that, I don't know, like some.
Either idea was silly to me.
Uh huh. Well, but like if we don't know, if it seems like they committed suicide, I mean, what was intriguing to me is that, okay, these people have really made a go of it. These people are staring down the apocalypse with more fortitude
they're good
and strength
at
of character.
It. They're really good at the apocalypse.
And like, what was they? But something happened.
Yeah.
Just one little thing happened, and wait a minute.
We needed it to be something more, didn't
yeah.
we?
And
yeah.
So, and just not to like to come back to the kids thing, but yeah. Bo and Sandy are the only people who are invested in the future. They're the only people who are actually invested in building something up for future generations.
A better future, not community future.
Right. And then the community who you know, Micah, who's making all of these elaborate revenge schemes and making things better for people and maybe just taking revenge on the group who kicked him out and the communities mm-hmm. which cater to the rich people. In 20, 30 years, all those people are going to be dead. They got no new generation and they're the ones who are motivated.
Right.
And if right. so if they trading their kids away. Why don't they want kids? That wasn't immediately clear to me.
Because they were hard.
Because it's scary.
Well, yeah.
It's scary to have kids.
Because these people can't. And also, it's distracting them from their yard work.
But once that got settled, then they were in this place where everyone worked for 3 hours a day in the morning, and then in the afternoon they had craft
we want
hour.
Kids were screwing teenagers.
But are they? And who's happy with this arrangement? August seemed to be just going along. He's okay, Peter didn't seem happy. He's going along with it. Mm-hmm. What does Micah really think? There's too much that didn't quite explain itself.
And there's a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-old men living in a compound with a bunch of 40 and 50-year-old women.
It sounds fantastic, I have to say.
Cougar town.
I mean, in a way...
Mark just unbuttoned another snap.
That made sense to me. But they should have been happier. I mean, that's the perfect dynamic. We all know that.
Sure.
But they had to keep trading with the community so that they could get their Hershey cocoa powder.
It's not worth it, guys. Just, you know.
Yeah. Let's give them some kids.
Just milk the cows and keep doing what you're doing.
Now, wait a minute. What did you mean by that?
You know.
Okay. So
why would they milk the cows when they get all the milk for free?
Yeah! No! Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, zap.
We just exploded the computer.
That's what a zinger does. It fries your hardware.
Oh, that's the first one we've ever had.
First zinger ever. Nice. Well done. Well done. So I guess do we have any closing thoughts on California?
Why is it called California?
Because it's the guy's name.
Yeah.
But
is it about him?
They're all from there. I don't know.
It happens in California.
Wasn't he from?
They are very coy. She, the author, it's
about where it was.
About where it was.
He was from the Midwest.
Originally, but it came out to Plank.
Right.
Which was, I'm thinking, in Colorado.
I thought it was Northern California.
Or Northern California. Yeah. Similar.
Well, an earlier thought or point I was about to make. She could write a book about Plank that I think would be super compelling.
I loved all that stuff, actually.
And I think she's got something specific in mind.
It's great. It's so well observed. The idea that as the world is slowly disintegrating, that big colleges would crumble and close, but there would be the opportunity for smaller colleges to keep going. That was so well observed.
And a college that is preparing kids for
it's a mixture.
Farming,
we read philosophy and we grow squash.
Right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Right. It's kind of my ideal life, actually.
It was convenient for the plot. That was what was frustrating.
Yeah,
was
when it came
they're all from Plank. That's why they can read books and that's why they know how to...
And Cal was a double whammy because he could farm because he learned on his dad's farm, which we heard over and over again.
Dad had a farm?
it's just, it was very convenient.
You tell her something three times and she forgets.
Shame on
now
you.
Now is the part of the show where I become an unrepentant smartass.
Again, another vein of something that, I'm curious about her next book, about her next few books.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This was a super easy read.
Okay.
It was a story.
Yeah.
I read it in a couple days.
Right.
But everything that I've said is what I mean.
Right.
Yeah. Well, here's the blurb I'll give it. California, the least frightening post-apocalypse novel you'll ever read.
There you go. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I would give this book to 15-year-olds who want to be acquainted with the failures and ennui of old people.
Not ha! I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
Okay, to get them into my van.
No,
I would offer, I'd give them this book in the hopes of coaching them into my van.
Shut up, Infinity.
You hey, want to read a book?
Because it's not too scary.
Right?
Because it's not too scary.
It's not.
And it...
My van?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, enough. Okay, go ahead.
Plus, it's educational because it teaches them about the pill.
It teaches them about the pill and how easy it's going to get it in 150 years.
Right.
So don't worry about birth control,
also
kids. That's not what I'm talking about.
You just know.
That's true. You do know.
Starts out, her period is a week late.
She knows.
She knows.
She knows.
Some people know.
It's science, Kristen.
Right.
I haven't eaten protein in 7 years, but I know.
Because the similarities to today's world in that the communities are, and because it's not terrible writing.
Right.
It's not terrible writing, Pat Janowski.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I would totally give it to a 15-year-old voracious reader.
Yeah, yeah. No, very well written, and to me, the most compelling part, so compelling that I hope she goes there more fully in future works, is the stuff in the backstory of these characters that's closer to the present time, like Plank and Micah, going through his transformations and getting educated and being how he is.
Is this why it's called the afterlife? Because everything interesting has already happened.
Brilliant! You just unlocked this thing.
Heaven is a place.
Right.
Yeah. Where nothing ever happened.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's it. That's it. Right on. Okay. Well, I'm going to read it again. I'm so happy that just happened. What? Oh. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night. No. Okay, this has been wonderful, as always. I'm Jason Squamata. I'm here with my brilliant co-hosts.
Mark Savage.
Pat Janowski.
Christy Lovato.
And we've been studying Eden Lapucky's California. And yes, we recommend it for a certain type. And if you...
It's in all good bookstores.
It's in all good bookstores, principally Powell's Books. And in Portland, Oregon, you can order from it at powells.com. And at some point, in some way, shape, or form, it'll be available on Amazon when all this corporate warfare is over. And people lay down their swords and beat them into turkey basters.
Fountain pens.
Yeah, if you will. Okay, and so... If you've been listening to this program through the vector of www.bookcircle.com, no, bookcircleonline.com, well, bully for you. But maybe you should listen to it on YouTube, see if it sounds different.
YouTube or iTunes?
No, you can listen to it on YouTube, okay?
Wow.
But iTunes would be even better because Then you could comment on it. You can also comment on YouTube, but it would be better to comment on iTunes.
Are you filming this? Is there a film of this whole thing on YouTube? That
yeah.
would be
okay.
awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the camera, if you'll notice, it's under the table. And
so it's just our knees.
It's just our knees.
I have really cute knees.
They're adorable. And people
my knee just twitches for the whole thing.
It's no, true. Which is great. Yeah, but people have been talking about that in the comment boards.
Excellent.
Yeah. So,
I know, I read them.
Right, as do I. So we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Please give us your feedback. Tell us we're idiots. Tell us we're brilliant. Tell us you want to get to know us, because we'll get to know you back. We want to build relationships, because one thing California has taught us is that it's all about other people. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about everybody.
It's about community.
It's about community. We're all in this together. So
it's about people coming together to do stuff for things.
Yeah, right? Okay. So, everybody, thank you for tuning in. We are here through the good graces of Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro and AfterBuzz
yep.
TV.
Yep.
We are Book Circle Online. Tune in for our next podcast and for our previous podcast as you hear us wallow in books.
From managing editor Jason Squamata, executive producers Maria Menounos, Phil Svitek, and Kevin Undergaro, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Book Circle Online. For more discussion, go to bookcircleonline.com. And if you have comments, questions, or book title suggestions, write us at info@bookcircleonline.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this is Book Circle Online. BCO. Join the circle.